a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Urinary Stadium time is 8:20 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the friendly folks at collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. You found me. It's Drew Croson at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. You can find me at Son of Crow on Venmo. Hit me up there if you like the sound of my voice. Joining me via the magic of the internet, it is the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for Sharif and Warm-Ups.
And that's all it stands for. That's
it. Just warming up, taking some shots. Me and Sharif had the same number of minutes, though, tonight. Also joining me via Skype, a man who knows his way around a Hastings Music and More? Is that what its full name was? Hastings Entertainment? It's the AU Chief. AU Chief, can you read me?
Hail and well met, friends.
I thought his full name was Will Hastings.
Yeah, Will Hastings.
It was Hastings... It's a great question. Hastings Entertainment was their official name. I never called it that.
No, it was just Hastings. It's kind of like... It's kind of like Hibbett's Sports. It's actually just Hibbett Sports, but everyone calls it Hibbett's.
Yeah.
Hastings is a seaside town and borough in East Sussex on the south coast of England.
Wait, do you not remember Hastings?
I do. It was here for like my freshman year. That was it.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever get a coffee at Hastings?
I did not.
Real heads know they had free coffee in the back.
They did. I interviewed at Hastings one time and did not get the job, and I'm still mad I didn't get the job.
Free CDs, man.
Just
probably a safe place.
Well, I would have been out of there long before they were done.
You could have gotten a sweet deal on Slipknot hoodie.
Yeah.
A weird,
well,
like,
you know, when Ryan came here, it was more like a I don't know what you'd call it. It was more like a not Hot Topic and not
it was cool. Not
they
as-
have. They had a lot of novelty stuff there.
Yeah, it's a knick-knack store.
When Crow and I were in college, it was a video rental and a video game rental. It was a rental place plus bookstore plus music store.
The last two CDs I ever bought in person were from Hastings.
There you go.
I think they probably sold more vinyls than they did CDs to people my age.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then it became
became cool again.
The comic shop, pretty much, right. As well. And just in time for me to get back into comics really, really heavily around 2010-ish, I guess it would have been.
Yeah, and you could also get like a 3-foot-tall action figure of Anakin Skywalker or something like that.
They always had stuff like that, but then they really expanded that business in an effort to try to save themselves, and it did not work. It was a great place. It was my favorite store in Auburn. I used to go there multiple times a week. But
like I said, the last two physical CDs I ever purchased were at the Hastings in Auburn, and it was that yellow Jack Johnson CD that everyone had in 2005 or whatever it was, and the Mike Jones's. Who is Mike Jones?
I bought a lot of 311 CDs there.
Of course.
I bought a lot of CDs. Used CDs. That was the best part of it. And you were a sucker if you ever sold your CDs to Hastings. Complete sucker. You got
Is that
sense.
Like turning in your video games to GameStop?
Yeah, it's but worse, yes. Yes. I once saw a guy turning in a whole thing of 311 CDs used. And that it was like their entire catalog, which at the time was only like 10 CDs, and they were giving him a dollar for it. So
what did 311 do to that man that he was just like, I'm done?
Well, this would have been...
I am not about rap reggae.
This would have been probably around 2011 or so, probably. So he probably just had digitized all his music and was just getting out of the CD game, as a lot of people were doing at the time. And I think that's what was going on there.
I think he just found a girlfriend.
Oh, maybe.
Hey, you gotta get rid of these 311 CDs.
But what? I almost offered him money for them because I'm like, I'll give you $5. Like, that's more than Hastings is giving you. And then they're going to turn around and sell them for 10 each.
Yeah. Ryan, you might not remember this. The price of compact discs at one point in this country was astronomical.
Unless you were going to Walmart to get your music, it was going to cost you about $25 to get a new CD.
I think I remember paying like...
This is when video games were $40.
$60. I paid $60 for a video game one time on an N64.
Yeah, I'm
saying back when like buying CD. Oh, you paid $60 for an N64.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the thing you got to think about. Video game prices have actually gone down to a point, and now they're steadily creeping up. But now it's more of it's closer to inflation as they creep up. N64 games were super expensive, and there was a reason my parents didn't buy me NES games because. They were really expensive. They may have only been $30, but at the time, that's like paying $70 for a game now. So
I think I paid $60 for Banjo-Kazooie.
And now you don't have to pay for the supply chain at all.
You're just
paying for the files.
Yep. And that's the thing. Like the jewel case, the weird wrapper that was always static to your hands and you couldn't get rid of. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff apparently made it to where it was $30 for that Boyz II Men double disc you wanted. And you couldn't get it unless you went to Sam Goody
in the mall. Sam Goody was the worst place to buy a CD.
Is that like a combination Sam's and Goody's?
No, Sam Goody was a CD and DVD only store.
Yeah.
That I don't think is in business anymore, shockingly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Best Buy got out of the music business. Does anywhere other than Walmart sell CDs now?
Well, now everybody's going back to selling vinyls because it's like vintage. Yeah, I have a lot of vinyls now. It's funny now that I get like, you can buy vinyls and they'll come with a digital download code to download the album digitally as well. But yeah,
according to Wikipedia, Sam Goody has two locations.
Oh wow! I was going to show you my Pixies
the Alaska
vinyl I recently got, but
Because isn't the only Blockbuster in, like, Oregon somewhere?
Yeah, it's out in East Oregon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the Oregon True Podcast.
The two Sam Goody stores are in the Ohio Valley Mall in St. Clairsville, Ohio, and the Rogue Valley Mall in Medford, Oregon.
What are they saying?
As a collector, I really hate the death of physical media. It really sucks. But as much as I love to have, like, a physical book, I've gotten to where I can't. It was always annoying to hold, especially a paperback, small paperback, to like hold it open. I didn't like to crease the spines, so I'd like have. It was a whole thing, and as much as I love physical books, I've just gotten used to reading on a tablet. I've got a Paperwhite that's really easy on the eyes, and it's. I swore I'd never stop buying CDs, but the only CDs I bought have been if I go to a concert and I buy the CD there.
I have nowhere to play them except for in my car.
Yeah, I can't play them in my car because my car has a 6-disc CD changer that doesn't work. So,
You're not super into the digital collectible scene that's going on these days?
Nah, not really.
I don't really get it. I don't really understand it. I'm going to have like a 14-year-old explain it to me.
Yeah. It's
luckily I work in a position where I can talk to 14-year-olds in a way that's not
legally and not it not be weird.
I can't just pull up, "Hey kid. What's the deal with these digital collectibles?"
So, I get the concept because, you know, if you've played video games in the last 15 years, they have achievements that you collect in video games, especially Xbox started it and then PlayStation has it. So I get the idea of collecting things digitally. It can scratch the same collection itch, but I don't get the whole like collecting cards and stuff like that. Although I say that I got really into the little Panini World Cup sticker thing that was all digital.
Yeah.
So. I got to say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, man. Digital collectibles. The NBA is pushing them huge.
Yeah.
Is this related to the stock highlight stuff I've heard about?
Yes. It's exactly that.
Okay.
You can buy a highlight. Like, you buy a particular Zion Williamson dunk.
Uh-huh.
Highlight.
Okay. Will it give you a digital signature?
I guess. You can get
a digital signature.
And that's the thing. It's also, you could just look it up on YouTube. Anyone can watch that dunk. Yeah. You don't own it.
Yeah.
But you have the collectible of that dunk. Kind of like you would have Zion Williamson rookie card. But I could also look at a picture of him on the internet.
I get it to a degree. I play a game that has collectible digital items in it. And, I mean, these people, it's all the same salesmanship that they've been doing for years. They're just adding it on digitally in those games. Like, you'll get your collector's editions no longer have like a big book that you get with it with art in it or something. You get like a pet in the game or something you'll never look at again in the game. And you feel like, I got to upgrade and get that. You can't just buy the regular edition. Mm. So I get it. I guess.
All right, let's talk about basketball.
Mm.
So we are 1-1 in the last two games and beat our biggest rival. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Got a win against Rick Barnes of Tennessee. That's 6 in a row for Mr. Bruce Pearl versus Tennessee. You gotta feel bad if you're a Tennessee fan because Auburn is not a good team to lose to at this point in the season without Sharif Cooper.
No.
And I want to say that the draft stock of Sharif Cooper is only going up as Auburn plays without him and turns the ball over 700 times in a game.
I think that we're somehow worse now, and I don't think it's just the absence of Justin Powell. We are worse now.
Justin Powell is also getting better every week because people are like, hey, man, we just Powell. We won this game.
Right. We've gotten worse. Now, the Tennessee game, we played really well. We executed our game plan perfectly. The first half was a little shaky. Second half, we played hard. We played well. We didn't turn the ball over. It was a great game. But since Sharif has joined us, we have played maybe 5 really good games.
Yeah, and that's
and one of those we lost because it was against Baylor.
Yeah, and lost to Bama in Sharif's first game, and he played amazing.
Yes.
I also want to say that, like, shout out to Jamal Johnson for playing point against Tennessee for the first time in his career.
Did he play himself into being the backup point guard next year?
He played himself to, hey, Bruce, why wasn't he the backup point guard 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I don't really want to get into tonight too much. I think we saw tonight why maybe he's still
one of the elite players in the country at not turning the ball over, which is bizarre. Sure.
I think we saw tonight that once guys have some tape on him, then they can do a little more with him than Tennessee.
Oh, sure. He definitely isn't going to be your starting point guard, but if he has to play 5 to 8 minutes a game there.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think that hurts you next year.
Man, as a senior too. This team needs J-Bob McCormick to be a year younger than he was.
Yeah.
Or Samir Dowdy.
Or Davion Mitchell to be here this year, which.
Actually, you know what's crazy? Kind of wish Turbo Jones hadn't transferred midseason.
It'd be pretty nice
to have another guard on the team.
Well, that's true. Another guard willing
to have the option.
Although being willing to take a shot doesn't seem to be our problem this year. We've taken 700 freaking threes, even though we're not good at them.
So. The commitment to Jamal at point in the last two games is proof to a concept that I think doesn't get said enough about basketball, is that there are guys who can play 4 positions, 5 positions.
Yeah.
There's positionless basketball, and that's awesome. That's my favorite type of thing to watch, whatever. But there are guys who need to be playing one position because they are so much better version of themselves in that spot.
Yeah, at that point.
And Alan Flanagan is an elite 3.
Yeah, I think he's really would be really good if he was playing.
I think 3. He's a really good 3.
Ryan's not as high on Flanagan as me and most draft picks are. Alan Flanagan at the 3 is an elite player at getting to the rim.
Yeah.
And at the college level,
to be an elite player, he's got to be elite at finishing at the rim too.
Well, what's he averaging this year in points per game? 15 still?
Oh, come on. It's not just points per game that you're looking at, though.
Remember, the S stands for efficiency.
Something like that, yeah.
Ryan's a big efficient.
He is a three who is having to currently carry the bulk of the offensive load.
Yeah,
on his team.
I think this year has been.
But I don't think that makes him an elite player. I think it makes him the best player on a team that needs somebody else to be the best player.
Well, I think it has hurt him to have to play three different positions.
Definitely. Oh, 100%. Because when he's been able to play the three, like against Tennessee, they had nothing for him.
Yeah.
He ate their lunch.
It's a
and
crime
they're a really Tennessee
that
was a run. Really good defensive team. And Alan Flanagan destroyed them.
He dunked so hard on them that I think it should count as a loss for the next 3 years against them too.
And it didn't count.
Even the points didn't count.
Tennessee's gonna lose anyways.
I mean, I think the interesting thing about Flanagan's game is that people have since last year compared him a little bit to Okoro.
Yeah.
Because they kind of have a similar build and they play the same position.
Yeah.
Flanagan's better on offense right now than Okoro was last year.
Oof.
He's not as good defensively as Okoro was, and probably never will be.
Is he better on offense though? I don't know about that.
Let me check out some numbers for you.
I would rather have Antlen Flanagan with the ball in his hands in the early part of the shot clock than Okoro at this point.
No way.
Not Okoro today.
Not even Okoro last year. I don't know about that. No. I have to disagree with that one because Isaac could get to the rim whenever he wanted to.
Allen can get to the rim whenever he wants to.
Yeah, but Isaac was going to make the shot almost every time and or get to the line. And Allen's not there. I think he is.
I'm not 100% sure we are remembering Isaac Okoro the same.
I don't know, dude. Dude,
because I don't think Isaac had 5 20-point games last year.
Okay.
He also had a lot
last year.
He also had a lot of other dudes that were
right. He wasn't having to carry the offensive load.
So last year, Isaac had a 19 PER, a 56% effective field goal percentage. He shot. Let's see, only 29% from three. I mean, that was obviously the knock on him. 61% from two.
What were his points per game, Ryan?
He didn't have to be. This is what I'm arguing with you, though. Points per game doesn't mean anything when you have three better offensive options last year that are no longer
on
the team.
What I'm saying is this guy in SEC competition is able to put buckets on teams, even though they know he is the only guy on Auburn's team that can do it.
Alan Flanagan, 17 PER, a 54% effective field goal percentage, shooting 34% from three. It's better. 56% from two, not as good.
34% from three, almost all from earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, if I go to conference play.
His last 2 months, he has been
That PER number was not as
– that is 33% in conference play. So.
Yeah, hey. But the last at least month.
You guys are not telling me that I was that far off. I'm sorry, but
I'd still have Isaac over. And I'm not crapping on Allen. I'm not.
Allen has gotten the most.
And remember, they're the same age.
Right.
Yeah, they're the same age.
Allen has gotten the most undue criticism on Twitter of any player on the team besides maybe Sharif, because everybody all of a sudden is realgm.com. And Isaac has gotten the most undue criticism because I think everyone
– Allen or Isaac?
Allen, because Allen all of a sudden came into this year really vastly improved from last year.
I think he's been getting a lot of crap because of the drop-off we've seen. He was great against Tennessee, don't get me wrong. But at least the last month, he has not been great. And I don't think that's all his fault.
That still goes back to not having a point guard.
Yes,
and
he's not having
to play point guard.
He's having to play point guard. Yeah.
I think if we had a complete team, everyone on this team looks better though. I think that's the
If Alan Flanagan was able to play the three all year,
right,
this team's got three more wins minimum.
If sophomore Alan Flanagan played on last year's team,
sure. Oh yeah,
like
sure.
If you take Okoro out,
yeah.
I mean,
leave Okoro in, and we've got a lot on our hands there. Because you can bring Allen in and not have that extreme drop off in offense like we did, because he was just not a threat on offense. He could still get to the rim last year.
I'm worried for Allen because I think Allen's going to come back next year and have a bit of a logjam at the wing with some new recruits that are going to be highly touted. Bruce is maybe going to start Allen because Allen is really pretty darn good.
I mean,
in his own right.
Who else is a three?
Jabari. So the logjam is Thor at the four, Jalen at the five, Jabari at the three.
Allen at the two.
And Justin Powell is coming back. And Devin Cambridge is coming back, assuming.
Yeah, I think that's is a problem.
And I think Allen
start minutes are a problem.
I mean, I think Allen can play the four.
I think Allen can play a lot of spots. I think Allen's a really good player.
Yeah, I think he can get minutes. It's just, are those minutes going to help him improve his NBA style?
I would love to see some
true advanced. He might be playing 10 minutes, three positions.
I would love to see some true advanced stats on what Alan Flanagan's statistics are offensively when he didn't bring the ball across half court. Like, how much better and more efficient is he as a player in terms of turnovers, especially when he's able to catch the ball at the three-point line or inside the paint from a point guard? I bet he's astronomically better because they give him the ball because, like, look, this is our best option at him getting to the rim. But then he's not so sure-handed that he ends up turning the ball over a lot more than he should.
Yeah, it's true. He's a good enough ball handler to be a three.
He's this team's version of Austin Wiley in that he has a ton of talent and he puts himself in position to make a lot of plays and doesn't always make those plays. Where a lot of guys wouldn't be in position to make them in the first place.
That's true. Auburn fans, just like everybody else on the planet, the expectations for that player coming into the season are 100% in terms of how much we like that player at the end of the year. It all has to do with how we expect him to be at the beginning of the year. So like Austin, for instance, comes in as the highest touted recruit we had ever gotten at the time, besides Mustafa. Everyone's like, oh, this guy's going to be a first-round pick in the draft. He's 7 feet tall. He's a monster.
Well, his first freaking game, he came in and just went off against Alabama. So.
And then because the expectations were that
– as a 17-year-old.
The expectations for Wiley were Shaq.
Yeah.
And so because he wasn't Shaq and was still probably one of the three best fives in the conference by the time he left.
I think there's a – there's a thing there too with Austin, and I've said this before, is that people wanted Austin to be what they think Dylan Cardwell is.
Yeah.
Like they wanted him to just do these awesome jams on guys underneath. Except Austin had a lot more going on at this point in his career for himself.
He
was always a great defender in the post. I mean,
also wasn't averaging like a foul every minute.
Yeah,
like Dylan Cardwell sometimes does.
Dylan
Cardwell is more of a evolutionary horse Spencer than he is an Austin Wiley.
And he could. I mean, obviously Dylan could come back next year, and
I hope he comes back for four more years.
Yeah. Same.
The other
3-year-old Dylan Cardwell should not be allowed to play college basketball.
I hope nobody had huge expectations for Allen coming into this season.
They did coming into conference play.
Yeah, that's true.
College basketball has it's different than most sports in that you play a bunch of just gimme games up front.
Yeah.
Like in football, you well, like in football, you play, you know, you got SoCon Saturday at the end of the season. Sometimes you've got Western Carolina in October. You kind of spread those out. But imagine if, and I think actually the football schedule next year is this way, you play all of those games in September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody's 6-0 coming into the conference play. Yeah.
Well, I think, they have one like tentpole, you know, out of conference game.
Another example of that is Sharif. Sharif's expectations coming into the year were he's unbelievable. And then we delayed seeing him for so long because of the NCAA, and it only got better. Oh my gosh, when Sharif gets here, we're going to be best team in the conference.
And then he was that good.
And then he was that good. But then because we had an exposure to him being that good, you began expecting him to be better every week. And so you began seeing his flaws more obviously. Well, and so now you got guys going, I don't even know if he's an NBA draft pick. I saw a guy on Twitter saying, I can't believe anybody would even draft him at all. Like, bro, this guy is going to play in the NBA for 15 years. Like, what are you talking about?
I will say that I think there's several different things going on with that. There's some people that just the entire time I've seen, they're like, nah, he's not an NBA draft guy. He'll be back. And they really haven't changed their stance since they've gone on. And then there's a portion of the people that don't think he's going to get drafted that just don't want him to get drafted.
Sure.
They want him to stay, so that's their mindset. There are people that just don't think he's going to get drafted. I'm a little on the fence myself. I said before we started recording, I think he goes through the process. If he's a lottery, if he grades out as a lottery pick, he goes. I mean, there's no reason for him not to if he does.
And he should.
That's where I don't know. I think there's enough question marks with him that you can't really just say, oh yeah, he's a lottery
pick. No, but if you grade out as a lottery pick,
work on in college.
If you grade out as a lottery pick, you should go. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If he goes through the process and they're like, yeah, man, you're gonna get picked by one of the first 15 picks.
Maybe he feels cheated out of not getting a whole college season.
No. There's
No. I'm not gonna pretend to know what these. I'm not saying that's the case. But I've never been in this kid's shoes. I've never been in an 18-year-old who's one of the best people on the planet at what he does.
I will tell you this. It would be a extremely rare case for a guy that has been the best player on every court he's ever been on to go to have any sort of thought of, oh, well, I really want to play in the tournament or something like that. It's not to say it can't happen. It's just not – that's not anybody's goal.
You just watch his sister do it.
That's not anybody's goal anymore, though. These people want to be in the league.
Kids don't grow up wanting to play in the tournament unless they're J.J. Redick.
There's – some of those guys exist that I'm not going to deny they don't exist.
Derrick Brown.
Yeah.
That's different.
Just saying.
It's different.
Example.
Completely
that's
different.
A totally different thing.
How? He was a first-round pick as a junior.
Because Derrick Brown's money's not guaranteed, one.
Yes.
He's not guaranteed to literally never have to work a day in his life after
all the more
first
reason
contract.
To go to the draft when you can.
And three, you can get drafted higher coming back. It happens all the time. You come back to college football and
you
improve your draft stock.
If you are 20 years old, you do not come back because you're not getting drafted higher as a 21-year-old. In almost all cases.
You cannot get younger. Unless he gets younger, his draft stock will go down next year. Unless he wins the Naismith Award.
Sharif Cooper is not concerned with anything other than how high can I go in an NBA draft and what is my NBA career going to be.
I'm looking at Tankathon's projected lottery picks right now. So let's see. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 freshmen on the list. 4 G League guys, 3 sophomores, an international, and a senior. So, yeah, I mean, they want to take freshmen. You don't have to be a freshman to get drafted.
No. No, you don't. But it's the last senior to get drafted first overall was Tim Duncan.
I don't think there's any world in which Sharif Cooper gets drafted first overall, regardless of when he goes to the draft.
What I mean is, like,
that's kind of a pointless.
Well, here's and I think you are sort of making a point
there. Kiki got drafted as a sophomore 2 years ago.
I think you're making a point there, though, that you don't think you're making. Sharif Cooper will be 21 next year when the draft comes, and he will be the age of a junior. And if he's not going to ever be the number one pick, then coming back's not going to make him the number one pick. Now, coming back could potentially make him a higher lottery pick. That's
right
true.
Now, Tankathon has him at 20.
So
I think if you're the 20th pick, you might come back.
Absolutely. Yes.
I think that's correct.
So, I mean, I think my reasoning on why I think he comes back is because I don't think he's a lottery pick, and I don't think he's going to be graded as a lottery pick.
If you're not a lottery pick...
I'm not an NBA scout. I could be totally off base there. I just...
Yeah, well...
Because my eyes don't tell me that, that's what I'm
right. I think there's... That's where I'm at. There's... I think there's too many question marks with them. And I think most of the projections that you see right now are by a bunch of nerds that don't actually know anything other than their history of the draft. They don't actually know what the NBA scouts are thinking. And so you can't look at, like, I think ESPN still has him as the like 12th pick or
ninth.
Something.
They have him as the ninth overall prospect in the big board.
I don't think you can look at that. I think you can. I don't know. I think especially in his case, because I think Nerd made this point that usually the GMs pick pretty close to what these nerds sitting around making these projections
with the lottery. No one knows the second round of the draft is a complete crapshoot. They could draft me.
Right. But I think there's probably room for there to be one guy that's just like the people have too many questions about. So they could quit. I mean, Sharif Cooper's an elite passer. Elite passer. He's elite at this level of getting to the rim. But he's not very tall. Can't really shoot. He's quick, but he's not lightning quick.
He pushes pace. Auburn's adjusted pace went up significantly with Sharif in the game.
He's not, and I've made this comparison before, I don't think he's as fast or as quick as Jared Harper. But he's fast enough. I mean, he's fast enough to do what he needs to do. He's not a great defender. And he hasn't...
Or he's a bad defender.
He's a bad defender. I think there's enough questions there that would make me nervous if I'm a GM about drafting this guy as a lottery pick. Now, if I'm just taking a shot on him, sure, let's get him in here.
Spend
some money.
I'll look at a comp like you're buying a house. I think he's better than Colin Sexton was as a freshman.
Colin Sexton was a lot better shooter.
Yeah, he's a lot better shooter. I think that's the deal.
I don't think Colin Sexton was as good of a basketball player as Sharif Cooper as a freshman. And Colin Sexton was a top five pick.
I also see little things with Sharif, and I don't want to. I hate to just sit here and criticize somebody because he's the best player on our team. there's just no way around that, but. I think he makes some pretty bad decisions from time to time.
You're talking about most other than size, decision making, shooting can all be corrected with NBA coaching in the minds of NBA coaches.
Yeah,
it's the opposite. I said this in the Slack. It's the opposite of, for some reason, Mike Leach used to talk about this all the time. Why is it that NFL coaches don't draft quarterbacks who came out of shotgun systems because it's not like it's hard to teach a kid to take a shotgun snap.
Yeah.
Yet NFL coaches for years were like, I don't know about this kid. He came out of a system. He never took a shot. Never took a snap under center.
Yeah, snap under center.
And Mike Leach was like, well, how good of a coach are you if you can't teach a kid to take a under center snap?
Especially since almost all the time quarterbacks – never jump straight into the starting role.
Right.
Like it's almost never happened.
So if you're an NBA scout and you see the reason why a lot of times guys will say, well, he has a high free throw percentage, is if you're an NBA scout, you go, okay, if you can shoot free throws, then it's muscle memory. So eventually we can get you to shoot threes.
I think that's right. That's the argument I've had is they don't really care if he can't shoot.
They don't care at all.
Teach him how to shoot.
So why is JT Thor not a prospect in the draft right now?
Yeah, I'm wondering that too.
As a 17-year-old.
There's a lot of people who think he is.
I haven't seen him on any boards.
There are a couple of guys.
I haven't seen him on any boards.
There's a couple of guys.
The NBA draft is a really long, far way away. And that's the other point I was trying to make about all the projections that are going out right now. Nobody knows anything.
The biggest question mark I would have for Street, I have
very few. Thor's pretty much done playing, so I don't know if he's going up.
Yeah.
No, it has nothing to do with looking at them. It has to do with when they start getting information from teams, which they do not have right now.
My only question mark that I even have for Sharif, which I don't have that many, is that he hasn't played that many games.
Yeah.
My other question mark for Sharif is like, well, I've only seen him play. Does he have the stamina? Does he have the durability to last an 82-game NBA season?
Yeah. That
12 career games.
He played 12 games.
I think that's related to his size as well. Because he's not muscular either. He's kind of a small dude.
But his comps from a statistical standpoint, especially assists per game and points per game, are guys that are like no-brainers. Trae Young, John Morant. No-brainers.
Trae Young was a super shooter, though. Of course, Pierce he took about 1,000 shots a game. So.
Yeah.
Here's his player comps on KenPom. And again, this is on 12 games. Shamari Pons from 2018. McKinley Wright from 2018. Cole Anthony from last year. Xavier Johnson from 2019. And Nate Wolters from 2011.
Cole Anthony.
How do you feel about those?
Cole Anthony's first-round pick was a lottery pick to the Bulls. Having an okay year.
That's one guy out of the comps.
Yeah, his comps were on Ken Palm were Ja and Trae Young after like 5 games.
Yeah.
Those were only 2 comps.
But against, I mean, pretty good competition. You saw LSU, Kentucky, you know, Georgia, Baylor. I mean, not Georgia, but Missouri, Ole Miss and Baylor. I mean, those have brought his numbers down a little bit.
Yeah.
He's still first in the SEC in assist rate, fouls drawn per 40 minutes, and usage rate.
His assist rate is perplexingly big. That's why he didn't get drafted. Remember, Auburn is not a good shooting team from three-pointer.
Right. He would have 5 more assists a game if we could shoot.
If we had a team that could shoot threes, all of a sudden his assist rate is even more bonkers.
Auburn's not been a bad shooting team in conference play, though. I know we like to think they've been, but they really haven't. I mean, 4th from 2 in the conference and 7th from 3.
Oh, it's
not bad.
7th is pretty fine. Middle of the table in a 14-team conference.
I call it bad for us.
It's average.
It's bad when that's what you want to do, though.
We like to think that they've been like 10th in a conference in effective field goal percentage, and they've been 6th.
Well, I think from 3, if you're a Bruce Pearl team, 7th in the conference is really bad.
7th in the conference is why you are not 500 in the conference.
Yeah. I the way our team is built and Bruce runs it, 7th in the conference is just more or less unacceptable.
Well, because you're down 3 guards.
I will now stop defending our best player.
No, I think Sharif, there is a great shot that he's going to grade out as a lottery pick and he will be gone. Prepare yourselves for that. Don't be bitter about it. Don't talk down on it. If he goes,
it's great. That's another NBA player from Auburn.
Right. Don't convince yourself it was not the right thing.
Be mad at the NCAA for robbing us for half the year of him.
Yes. Be mad about that. And this ankle injury for the other 3
guys, this concussion and ankle injury got me questioning the training staff, and I really don't want to do that, but seems like we got ghosts in the training room.
Concussion? What's Double D going to do about a concussion?
Man, look, I don't know, but it seems like concussion. This concussion's like you got shot in the head. It's the worst concussion I've ever heard of.
I wonder if he's had more before this.
It sounds like he must have. At this point, again though, he's probably seeing what people are saying about him on Twitter. He's like, man, I am not Kevin Durant. These guys want me to come out here and score 45.
I don't know. You got to think about it. But you got to go back to what you were saying about us not being able to shoot. Just think, if JP were out there shooting 30% and shooting 6 threes a night, that's 2-3 more assists for our boy Sharif.
So. Sharif out here with 15 assists. And makes a
good rebounding team even better, too.
Yeah.
He was a really good rebounder.
Yeah, he was a good rebounder. I think we all are hoping that Sharif comes back just from an Auburn standpoint. But like Chief said, I think we need to be prepared that Auburn will be in the position to have 3 straight first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
And back-to-back lottery picks.
Lottery-adjacent picks, 3 straight.
Four straight. Jabari's going to be a first-round pick.
Oh, well, we don't know. Yeah. I thought you were trying to claim Jalen Green. Like, I don't know. Claiming him. All right. So, now that Ryan's done dogging on our best player, hoping that he comes back by criticizing him into coming back.
He's daring him to come back. You are doing a challenge.
This dude's terrible. I don't even want him on my team, but I really want him on my team next year. Please come back, Sharif.
There is a lot of that out there if you look for it.
Yeah.
So
tons. He's a terrible shooter. I really hope he comes back and plays for us next year, Sharif. Come on. All right. Baseball. Baseball played in the great state of Texas 3 times and went 1-2 against Big 12 teams. Against 3 different Big 12 teams. OU, Baylor, and A&M.
First one was in extra innings, too. That one, not really stung.
Yeah, because that was a lead for most of the game.
Yeah.
And then gave up a single run in the 8th, 9th, and 10th innings to lose.
Yeah.
I hope that someone watched. I hope that Drew McCracken watched this via VPN or some shady website, because the idea that it was not visible on the SEC network makes me question everything about our SEC network.
We talked about it. It was on Flow TV
It was a cyclocross race in Belgium.
Was it like sponsored by Progressive or something like that?
Probably.
Oh, Jesus, Ryan.
Oh, I just got it. No.
There we go.
Guys, Flow TV, let me say, I saw on Twitter the venerable Josh Dubb talk about how golf makes it so difficult to watch its own sports. Mm. It's almost like it's not trying to grow the sport. In baseball, college yourself doing the same thing, putting it on Flow. Guys, there are times where I don't know what channel the bike race is on until the night before, because that's when it's announced. So don't come at me with your sport is having a hard time making itself grow, please. There is no sport that tries harder to get less people to watch it than professional cycling. It is a complete joke. Right now, I would have to pay 3 different streaming services a grand total of $140 a year to try to watch all of the races.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. One of them used to be $40 a month. Thank God they quit doing that. I don't pay any of them. I find heroes on Reddit. Like
People
putting it on Twitch with their feet in the
camera. Is there a r/cyclestreams? Is that a thing?
I'm not gonna.
Oh, don't
claim that.
Not gonna rat anybody out. Yeah. Come on,
not talk. Dark. So Auburn then lost to the Baylor Bears, 12-6.
Yeah, that one. Well, 6 were pretty late runs, weren't they?
I mean, Auburn got off to a real bad start.
It was real bad there.
I wasn't following the game on Morse code or whatever it is you had to do to watch this game.
Clubhouse? Was it on there?
Clubhouse.
I don't even know what that is. I just see it on.
I think Clubhouse is a.
It's like a voice chat
thing. It's a voice chat thing, but I think it's got a little chat roulette to it where you can just join chats.
That sounds amazing, actually.
Yeah.
It's a little old school internet, actually.
Ryan, Chat Roulette was a video service where you could just pop on and it would be – you had no clue what was going to happen.
Now, it could be bad.
That's the kind of stuff they warned us about in like second grade. This is why you don't go on the internet, kids.
What do you mean could be bad? It always was bad. It was always bad. And then Auburn beat its final Big 12 team of the weekend, the Texas A&M Aggies, the fighting Texas A&M Aggies, 6-1.
Excellent.
And this game was – these games were in Round Rock, home Round Rock Donuts. And why were they there? What was this?
It was a tournament. It's just
Was it a tournament? I don't like when people.
It was.
Who won the
round robin tournament?
Well, it's like when, you know, Auburn goes to, you know, New York for a Thanksgiving tournament. Like, it's not really a tournament. But.
Well, Auburn won the tournament it was in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes they're round robin, sometimes they're not. But.
So this is just an invitational.
Right. Yeah, that's yes. Round Rock Invitational. Is that no? Anyway.
Round Rock Classic.
But not
I wanted
a great,
to say yum after you said Round Rock.
But. Not a great weekend for the Tigers, but, you know, whatever. Baseball season's long.
So these games, like, I don't know anything about college baseball, full disclosure. Do these games, like, count towards, like, an RPI type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're non-conference games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Non-con games.
This isn't an exhibition. These are just games.
It's just a way for the teams to have some non-con games against different teams in a central location, so they don't have, like, so we didn't have to go to Waco and then fly back home, then go to Norman and then fly back home, right, and then go to College Station, which we'll probably do anyway. But
hey, shout out to the baseball program for actually having the guts to play an away game. Not in College Station, but in Texas. The football team, I don't know, when has that happened? What non-Cotton Bowl, non-A&M game? It was probably Texas when Pat Dye was the head coach?
Two seasons ago.
Oregon there.
We played Oregon.
That didn't count. I'm not talking about playing a Texas school.
Oh. Well, why would we?
Why would we play USC?
You got to remember, the flip side of that is a Texas school has to leave Texas for home and home.
Yeah.
Texas played LSU in a home and home.
That's not really leaving Texas. That's just right there.
Yeah. LSU.
It's a 5-hour drive.
It's like Texas's boot. Yeah. It's like an 8-hour drive to get from one city in Texas to another.
Yeah, it's not. I am. There are a couple of teams that I think Auburn football needs to play, and I think it's a joke that we don't go out west of the Mississippi as more than we do. We're not like, it's not like we're Florida where we literally never play anywhere, but. In Florida, but still.
So we play a home and home with Penn State the next 2 years. You know what our next six non-conference games are, right?
Cal.
We have Cal, UCLA, and Baylor home and homes.
That's
all
right.
All less than this.
This guy, Alan Green, my guy. That's what I'm talking about. Why? Otherwise, we're just playing the same 15 schools. Playing Clemson again for the 9 millionth time.
I got to say, I figured a baseball player from Notre Dame wouldn't be your kind of guy, but.
No, he's my guy, 100%. I'm Alan Green guy. Here's a funny story about Alan Green and me. Our friend Josh Black introduced me to Alan Green on the floor of the Final Four game before the game started by tapping Alan Green on the back and breaking up a conversation that Alan Green was having with Grant Hill. And so Grant Hill had to go, like, what the heck? And Alan Green turned around and Josh said, hey, you got to meet this guy. So Grant Hill left. Like, he was like, all right, whatever, I'm out of here.
I thought you were going to say you ignored Alan Green to go talk to Grant Hill.
No, I didn't get to meet Grant Hill, unfortunately. All right, but Alan Green was a big fan of the song. So we like Alan Green on the website. Ryan, what can you tell me about first baseman junior Tyler Miller?
Yeah, he's had a great start to the season. I don't remember him being talked up as like one of the big offensive stars preseason, but yeah, he started 7 of the first 8 games at first base. He's hitting .444, leads the team in home runs, extra base hits, RBIs.
For those at home that don't know, is .444 a good batting average?
That's real good.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's real good.
How many games? 7 games. It's really good.
Yeah. And I think the most impressive thing is just the one strikeout in 27 at-bats. It's 7 games. You don't know if it's sustainable or not, especially because we haven't played conference games yet.
And
we
probably got half of those at-bats in one game.
Yeah. We scored 50-something runs in 2 games last week.
Yeah.
But still, no, shout out to him. He's had a good start. That'd be a nice addition if he can keep it going.
Nice.
Very nice. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little softball. And we are back. 49 minutes and 18 seconds into this podcast. Contentious at times, but lovely always.
Do you think the listeners at home are like I am when I'm watching a basketball game and I'm like, man, I wish they would like talk about the numbers and the actual stuff going on and not, you know, extraneous things?
No, because I'm not that way about that. Here's a hot take. I actually don't care if the announcers talk about the game.
What about if they power rank their kids?
I'm fine with that too. I
thought that was pretty funny, to be honest.
Yeah, that's funny to me.
I don't like watching a game and them talking about it. It's really bad when they talk about things that aren't even basketball related. Well, I think that's fine. That's funny. It's when you're watching and they're talking about the UFC fight coming up next week, like cross promotion stuff, or when they just seem completely disinterested in the game itself.
The cross promotion thing I don't love, and the hyping up of whatever the narrative of the season is.
I don't love.
But if they want to talk about what Grateful Dead show they went to last month, or
sure. Okay, I love Bill Walton. But Bill Walton talks about the game.
He does. He'll come in and out.
He connects almost every crazy-ass thing he says to the game itself.
I've listened to enough terrible Rangers baseball broadcasts on the radio where the guys have to talk about different cookie flavors they like because the Rangers are getting skull-crushed 12-1 in the fourth.
I'm okay with homers doing it when things are not going well.
Particularly in baseball.
Especially in baseball. But I don't like it when neutral guys, like when a team, like we were getting blown out in one game recently, and they just talked about Alabama the entire
time. See, that's the thing I don't like. When they talk about other schools, whatever.
It's like,
the only reason I dislike when they're like, hey, have you watched Breaking Bad yet? Nah, I'm still trying to get into that. Is when that's like overlaid on a highlight of the game.
Yeah.
What the heck are they talking about?
I'm going to be.
If you ever
really
watch anything on
here,
Fox, that happens on Fox more than any other show.
I'm going to be really hypocritical here. I like when they have like set up bits. I don't like when they go off the cuff with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the setup bits.
We would never do that. But
sure. I like bits. Period. I like them when they're set up. I like when they're going off the cuff. Big fan.
When it goes on for like 5 minutes of game time, right? Yeah.
I think we're all agreed on the issue here.
Yeah, you know, who doesn't do that is Doris Burke, the greatest.
Yeah,
she is the best. We need more Doris Burke. I wish she called college games. I wish college basketball was just the NBA. Here I am saying that again.
All right, so softball.
Softball.
We're pretty good again.
Best team on campus.
Pretty good again. All of a sudden.
Had to kind of tear down the program a little bit and build his own thing.
Well, it was almost like it was rotten from the inside, Ryan.
You could say that, yeah.
Sometimes when you plant tomatoes, you got to just root up the whole garden, come back through. I think they're 10-1 on the year, which is
pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of that is...
They play like 60 games of softball.
Yeah,
right?
And usually the first couple weeks of softball is a bunch of gimme games where Auburn will host, like they have the Tiger invite. They hosted Jacksonville State.
Right.
And Murray State. And what will always be my favorite university name, IUPUI.
Yeah.
Indiana University, Purdue University of Indianapolis.
Yeah, they're a big NCAA tournament team from back a number of years ago. Used to make it frequently.
Can you imagine if like Auburn, Alabama had a combined program in Birmingham?
Maybe in Mobile.
Montgomery.
Auburn
University, Auburn University, University of Alabama, and Mobile.
There you go. It would have to be AU because you want to start with the alphabetical. AU UA.
AU UAM.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, best player on the team right now is a freshman for softball, similar to basketball. Pinta, who was a freshman from Maryland and was the number two recruit in her class.
Yeah.
Pretty good pull by old Mickey Dean.
Awesome. She started five games. She's a pitcher. And just absurd numbers that, I mean, if you told me the best player in the country was doing this, I'd still be surprised. Five complete games, five starts, three shutouts, two no-hitters, 49 strikeouts and 12 walks against 128 batters and a 0.85 whip. ERA.
Pitching in softball always trips me out because they played 11 games. She's pitched in five of them.
Right.
That's nuts. Almost the whole game in all of them. It's kind of crazy.
Y'all want to hear my one softball story? Sure. I actually have a couple softball stories, but my best one is I was the PA announcer for the high school softball team.
Nice.
From junior year and senior year. Senior year, PA announcer, and we are in a pretty close game in some tournament that the team was hosting. And my linebackers coach was the softball coach. And that's how I got the gig. And he ran a trick play. So it turned out that the pitcher for the other team would turn around and check the infield, but she wouldn't get all the way back in the circle when she did it. She'd have her like toes just on the outside of the circle. So technically you could still run at that moment because then the rules were if the pitcher's in the circle, you can't keep stealing bases. You can't just keep running, whatever. So he called some trick play in which she turned around to check. And as she did, because she wasn't all the way in the circle, a girl stole home. And no one thought she could steal because everyone on the field assumed the pitcher had gone all the way back in the circle like she's supposed to when she does this. But right. Coach had noticed that she wasn't doing that, told his runner, hey, she doesn't go back in the circle all the way. You can steal home. So this girl steals home, wins the game, okay? Or takes the lead. Sorry, takes the lead because there's more softball to be played. Takes the lead. The opposing coach flips, as you might imagine, storms out of the dugout, runs up to the umpire claiming that she was in the circle. The umpire says, actually, she wasn't. She hasn't gone back in the circle all game. Blah, blah, blah. The coach of my team, smile on his face, ear to ear, because he's noticed it. The opposing coach begins screaming, that's dirty softball. That's dirty softball. Screaming that's dirty softball over and over, repeating it. Won't stop repeating that's dirty softball. Takes the bucket of balls in the dugout, throws them across the infield, takes all the bats out of the dugout, throws them at my coach, at the coach of the other team, until he has to get into the dugout to stop the bats hitting him. Never stops screaming that's dirty softball. He gets tossed, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. Team goes on to lose the game by like 4 runs. So now, to this day, I will claim that's dirty softball anytime anybody does anything. That's dirty softball, guys. It's dirty softball. All right, that's all we got.
You know the context of it. Otherwise, you might sound like a certain football coach in the state.
That's good enough for me today, guys.
Yeah, Maddie Pinta, she's pretty good. All right?
Definitely not dirty softball.
She's had a great start so far. Looking forward to seeing how that goes on all year.
Is softball back?
I think so.
You heard it here first, folks. Softball's back.
Softball's back. Crow, you're not allowed to write an article about it, though.
I won't. I haven't written an article in forever. I need to actually do that before they tell me.
The soccer one?
Yeah. Well, I was about to mention, since we are a soccer podcast, I think soccer won a game or two.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were doing a spring season.
Yeah, they did every year.
They usually do. It's a thing.
But it seems like these are like actual games.
Oh, well, maybe it is.
It's like they're playing conference teams.
They do that every year.
Okay, yeah, I thought spring games were like they would go play AUM or something like that.
Yeah, they do that too, but they'll play like 2 or 3 conference games, and it doesn't count for anything.
Yeah. It's just it's like spring training, only they play actual games.
So you're telling me a college team could play like exhibitions in the spring against other programs?
Sure.
They beat Kennesaw State Kennesaw State 5-0 on the 19th.
That's the one I was thinking of.
And then on they tied LSU in double overtime, 0-0.
Ooh, thriller.
Their next game is March the 6th, and they go to that team we play all the time, the Clemson Tigers.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I think we actually discussed the schedule at some point.
We did. We talked about this. Okay. We have an Iron Bowl of soccer coming up on March 27th, by the way, at Alabama.
But that doesn't count. I mean, these seem like real games.
These don't count, man.
Play Alabama in the spring.
Well, maybe I'm wrong because there's an NCAA tournament all of a sudden, but does that make any sense? There?
I really think.
I mean, they played an actual schedule in the fall, but there was no tournament.
There was an SEC tournament.
Okay.
Huh. I don't know what's going on. We'll have to look into this and talk. We'll look into this full soccer report next week.
And one of Crow's patented investigative reports.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Everybody have a War Eagle weekend.
War Eagle.